Welcome to episode 255 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. Today we wrap up our study of the book of Philippians. Of the four prison epistles, Paul likely writes Philippians last, near the end of his Roman imprisonment in AD 61 or 62. This is about 30 years after Christ's ascension and about 10 years after Paul first preaches at Philippi. Paul sends the other three prison epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon, by the hand of Tychicus, as their destinations are near one another. However, the letter to the Philippians is to be delivered by Epaphroditus, who has come to Paul in Rome with financial help from the church at Philippi. But during his time in Rome, Epaphroditus falls ill, which delays his return home and therefore the delivery of the letter. Paul is imprisoned, yet throughout the four chapters of his letter, he uses the term for joy over 16 times. His peace and hope are not based on circumstances. This letter includes an example of an early Christian hymn, creed, or liturgical poem. Philippians 2 verses 5 to 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is one of the finest Christological passages in the entire New Testament. Paul uses it as an example of Christ's humility to be imitated by every believer. In a book of 104 verses, Jesus' name or title occurs 51 times. It is obvious who is central in Paul's heart, mind, and theology. Amen. The Apostle Paul does not write Philippians in response to a crisis, as he does with Galatians and Colossians. Instead, he writes to express his appreciation and affection for the Philippian believers. More than any other church, the believers in Philippi offer Paul material support for his ministry. Paul's affection for these people is clear throughout the letter as he encourages them to live out their faith in joy and unity. This is a highly personal letter. The first person pronouns I and my appear 51 times. Paul's joy at the mere thought of the Philippian church is undeniable. And it is that same joy that he wants the recipients to possess as well. To lead the Philippians to this truth, Paul takes them directly to Jesus, teaching them that a community of believers living in harmony with one another comes only through mutual humility modeled after the Savior. Paul writes that he poured out his life as an offering for the sake of Christ, leading Paul to find great joy and contentment in Christ's service. His letter to the Philippians shows them that by centering their lives on Christ, they too might have true joy. Though we all have much to be thankful for, the peace and the pressure of life often squeeze the joy from us. Our shoulders slumped and our heads bowed, we find some days or months very difficult to get through. Desperate, we often search for joy in all kinds of ways, acquiring possessions, visiting places, seeing people. But none of these can provide lasting joy. Where do you find joy in the midst of a trying circumstance? Paul knows, as does the Philippians, that true joy comes only through humble faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ, joining ourselves in harmony with his followers and serving others in the name of Christ.
This is the life experienced by the Philippian believers, and it is a life available to us today. Allow the joy you find in Christ to keep you from useless quarrels and divisions, and to instead guide you into harmonious relationships with God's people. You know, Philippians can be called resources through suffering. The book is about Christ in our life, Christ in our mind, Christ as our goal, Christ as our strength, and joy through suffering. Paul is Nero's prisoner, yet in his epistle, it is evident that he has experienced the peace that surpasses understanding, of which he speaks. Right Christian experience is the outworking, whatever our circumstances may be, of the life, nature, and mind of Christ living in us. Paul exhorts the Philippians to follow his example and be encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly during times of persecution. All Christians have experienced, at one time or another, the animosity of unbelievers against the gospel of Christ. This is to be expected. Jesus said that the world hated him, and it will hate his followers as well. Paul exhorts us to persevere in the face of persecution. Philippians 1 verse 27 urges us to stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Another application of Philippians is the need for Christians to be united in humility. We are united with Christ, and we need to strive to be united to one another in the same way. Paul reminds us to be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, and to put away conceit and selfishness, but in humility consider others better than yourselves, looking out for the interest of others and caring for one another. There would be far less conflict in churches today if we all took to heart Paul's advice. Another application of Philippians is that of the joy and rejoicing which are found throughout his letter. He rejoices that Christ is being proclaimed. He rejoices in his persecution. He exhorts others to rejoice in the Lord, and he refers to the Philippian brothers as his joy and crown. He sums up with this exhortation to believers, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. As believers, we can rejoice and experience the peace of God by casting all our cares on him. If we in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be known to God. Paul's joy, in spite of persecution and imprisonment, comes shining through this epistle, and we are promised the same joy he experienced when we center our thoughts on the Lord. When Paul tells us that he can do all things through Christ, he is not boasting. He's not making a claim to being a super Christian, and that ought not to be our takeaway from this book. This verse in Philippians 4 verse 13 refers to Paul's ability to be content in all things. To achieve this contentment, he needs the strength of Christ. This text should remind us of John 15, verse 15, "For without me, ye can do nothing." With Jesus, we can do all things. Without him, we cannot do anything. Father, thank you for the gift of the Epistle of the Philippians. Help us to understand the many spiritual truths contained therein, and may they enable us to draw closer to each other and closer to you. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.